Okay, if you've been here for any length of time, the emphasis this year we're calling thrive, because we want to actually thrive in life better. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest." And so he didn't come to give us a bunch of rules and regulations. He came so that we might have a very full and fulfilling life. I didn't want to ask it. How many of you want to have a miserable life? Any of you want to have life get worse, you know? Go to the DMV and it will, by the way. I'm just letting you know on that one. But there's something wrong with me if I want life to just get worse than it sometimes can be. Sometimes you'll go through certain government agencies and you'll come out hating humanity, you know. Or if you have to go through certain protocols in life, you just end up kind of not liking life a whole lot better. And we have been beat up by things in life and disappointed by others. And what we've been talking about, if you haven't been here, it's had its effect on us. It does have an effect on us. When you have the scars of growing up, or the scars of middle school or high school, or if you have some sort of a challenge in life or even a disability and you got teased about it, it left marks on you. It does, and it continually does. Or we've been disappointed by others and it's had an effect. Or we've messed up and we now carry this thing called guilt and shame on us. And we're ashamed of what we've done, and so we hide, and now that affects our ability to love and to be loved, because we're hidden behind all these kinds of things. And having been damaged, we damage others, or we're always comparing. And you think, wow, you know, there's a lot to go wrong in this thing called life. And there is. There honestly really, really is. After being a pastor for a whole bunch of years, I've come to the conclusion, everybody needs therapy, okay? We all need therapy, because we've all have been messed up in so many ways, and we have become bittered, or we've forgotten how to love, or we're too closed up that we can't do it, and your parents' divorce messed you up, and you messed you up. And so we come in this with anxieties and griefs and depression. And Jesus comes to say, I can help all that. I can begin the process of healing on the deepest part of you, and also help the transformation of the deepest part of you, so that you can begin to become whole again and healed again from that. First of all, he pours out his incredible love and grace and acceptance of you as you. No matter where you are or what you've done. In fact, he says, I love you so much, I will die on a cross for you. And when I was a kid, this overwhelmed me, that if there's only one person on earth, Jesus would have died, and that was me. Jesus would have died for me. And think of it that way. If it was only you on this earth, Jesus would have died for you and you alone. That's how much he loves you. And now, with the foundation of being loved, I can now function in love, instead of in hiding or instead of in shame. And I can start to help heal other people and be healed on the inside. And so when people say, does this thing called Jesus and God make a difference? Yeah, it does. It makes an entire difference, a complete difference in your life. You can finally love others and experience peace, and you can forgive. And I just want to say to you, don't settle for any other kind of life, because it's honestly settling. Now, a key to this thing called thriving, I believe, is how you and I relate to God. How do we relate back to God? Okay, I know, because I've heard Jesus die on the cross for me, I get it. And an unhealthy view of God messes me all up. And so we're talking about drawing near to God. Okay, and how do you draw near to God in that? The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Jesus said this, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as what? As what? As friends, as friends. And all of a sudden you have God saying, the way I want to relate to you is as a friend here. The God who pulled us all together, you know, singularities in the universe and the world, says, come. And I want us as a people to be comfortable with that, And one of the ways that we can draw near to God is this thing called prayer. Okay? Praying. Now, everybody knows prayer, right? We all know what prayer is. We all know what prayer is all about. And it's not a matter of defining what it is, because that's simple. Usually, when I talk about prayer, people say, yeah, I probably should be what?
Praying more.
I should be praying more. And in fact, usually when I ask people how many of you are really comfortable with how much you pray, very few people raise their hand, if anybody. It's always like, man, I'm always feeling like I should be praying more. And then when I think I should be praying more, I feel bad that I'm not. And then when I feel bad that I'm not, I feel what? What's the word? Guilt. I feel guilty. You know, it's like, oh, great. Now, what kind of a person, follower of Jesus am I if I don't even talk to him as much as I should? And then we go on all kinds of crazy things in our head. Or we say, yeah, I say prayers, but you think, but I say the same prayer every day. You know, I just simply recite the same thing on this one. And we wonder, isn't there more to it than that? Or we start going theological. You know, we try and excuse why we don't. We say, well, if God knows everything and is going to do what he's going to do, then what? Why bother to pray? You know, why even bother to pray if God's going to do all that kind of stuff? And so for a few moments, I want to talk about praying. And then we're going to do something together, because what I really want is, in this series and for the next couple of weeks, is for us to draw near to God, not just by a lecture or by me talking, but also draw near to God in practice. And so for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to talk about prayer, and then we're going to what? We're going to pray, okay? We're going to pray, and we're going to kind of walk through it together in a moment of prayer, because I really want you to experience God in prayer. And when I say experience, I'm not quite sure how I can define that word, but I want you to, okay? I want you to feel the closeness of God and the assurance of God and the reality of God as we pray together this morning. I told you a few months ago, I went to a pastor's gathering. The speaker was telling us how he prayed 1 hour a day, okay? 1 hour a day. And how his church was going so successful now. And, of course, we wanted successful churches, so we tried praying an hour a day, you know, an hour a day. And I don't know if you ever tried that. I got back and I set my timer for an hour. How's that, you know? God, you got an hour of my time, okay? And I prayed, you know, and I prayed in praise, and I prayed for my family, and I prayed for our coast, I prayed for the church, Mariners Church. I prayed for other churches on the coast, and I looked at my timer, you know, 11 minutes, you know, 11 minutes. So I went to the church director, I prayed for everybody by name, and I prayed for every country in the world, and I started getting drowsy, you know, and I had to pinch myself and all this kind of stuff. And after about 35 minutes, I said, I've got to be done. I've got to be done. And here is the challenge sometimes I have with prayer. I forget what I'm doing. Now it's not that I forget that I'm praying, because, you know, I don't forget. But I forget what prayer is really all about. I forget the whole point of prayer. Because prayer really is an extension of my relationship with God. It's my extension of a relationship with God where I am focusing my heart and talking to him. And I very easily forget that. I forget that almost every time. And I guess what I want to say is this. Prayer is a relationship thing and not a religious thing. Okay? Prayer is a relationship thing. It's not a religious thing. It's not that. And I've noticed a lot in my years, in myself and all of us, that we fall into what I'll just simply call religious ruts or religious ruts and routines. Okay, I fall into those. I come to connect with God and build others up becomes going to church. And we sometimes say, oh, yeah, I've got to go to church. Okay, we just use that term. Or worship instead of giving honor to the one who gives me life and breath becomes singing songs. And praying becomes sometimes saying prayers and something I should do or I gotta do. And I really want you to be helped in this. A really cool thing that Jesus did to begin to help us understand this is this concept. He said this, I am the vine and you are the what? You're the branches, okay? And it's a figure of speech. He's the vine. We're branches here. And the vine is always, and we know enough about plants to know that the vine is a source of strength and the branches get what from the vine? Everything, you know, life, nutrition, whatever it is. Jesus would go on to say, the one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, we want to bear fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Cut off, thrown away, and withers. If you've ever chopped bushes, you've seen it and you know it. We have this big one in our front yard. It's got big stickers on it, this big massive one on stickers. But I come out with my shears and I do battle, okay? It's stickers versus me, you know, and I'm ready to go and the stickers jab at me, but the force is strong in me on this one, and I you know, take that, and I chop here and I chop there and I get it all whacked up, and it's like after 20 minutes the battle is over and you know the dark side branches are cut off and already doing what as I pick them up, those branches are already beginning to what, wither, already beginning to wither after 20 minutes, and this. Analogy, Jesus says, is about us. It's about us connecting with God. It's about abiding. Abiding is staying close and staying connected. And there's an interaction that's going on between vine and branches. And there's an interaction going on between me and God, an interaction. I'm not saying prayers. I'm interacting with God here. It's a relationship, and we have to keep that in mind. This is a relationship thing. And so I would say to thrive and to draw near to God, resist things that formalize prayer. Try that. Resist things that formalize prayer. Why? Because it will devolve into a religious routine. Because it does that. It just gravitates towards a religious routine. The people in Jesus' day had set times to pray. And that subtly tells you what? Prayer is a time thing, you know? That God is only available at 2 in the afternoon, you know? Or this is now it's 2 o'clock, what's the word? Have to do this. I have to do it. They had set prayers to pray. And that subtly tells me that it's the words I say, not what my heart is doing. Do you understand it? How it just devolves into that so quickly? I personally dislike most religious printed prayers because they formalize it so much. And I find myself just reading instead of interacting and relating to God. Or on this date, you must pray this. I mean, friends don't do that. Relationships don't do that. I don't call up my friend and say, it's Tuesday, I'm supposed to ask you about your health, you know, and tomorrow's going to be Wednesday, I'm going to call and ask you about your relationships, you know, and talk to you about that. I don't do that. It's a relationship. I call them. I talk to them. Soon prayer becomes just reading instead of talking. And prayer is meant to be this dynamic interaction relationship with God. Valentine's Day was last Friday, and if you went out on the 14th to get a card, good luck, you know, good luck. I know because I went out on the 13th and the racks were empty, but now I'm not going to trick you with these words, so don't raise your hand. How many of you, and you'll get this right away, how many of you had to get something for somebody on Valentine's Day? No, you're not going to. You're too smart for that. You didn't have to get something for somebody on Valentine's Day. You what? You wanted to. Okay, you wanted to. Because if you had to get something for somebody on Valentine's Day, you all of a sudden have lost the interactive relationship love aspect of the whole thing, and it's now come down to duty. And so when we say, oh, I probably should pray now, What happened? What just happened? The very same thing. You've lost the relational, interactive component to prayer, and you've now made it a duty. I don't know how I would respond if somebody were to say, I know I have to call you, Paul, right now, because it's time to give you a call. I don't know if I would say, you know, why don't you wait until you want to, you know? And again, God's bigger than I am, and God's more understanding than I am. And God knows that the tiny flicker of my heart of wanting to speak to him, even though I've set my timer to do it, God will say, okay, you know, I will take that. I'll take everything from him because God's more loving than I am. This is why in the New Testament, there's a weird verse that says, pray without ceasing. And you just, how am I supposed to do that? You know, how in the world am I supposed to pray without ceasing? Because what he's talking about is beyond the formalized time in church that you pray, or the formalized time in the morning you pray, or the formalized, you know, 3 words or 4, 5, 10 words you say before a meal you pray. It's because it's a dynamic interaction between a loving and living God. Back and forth, all the time. It's as if you're saying, okay, you know, I'm walking out of here, God. Thank you for being with me. Thank you. And that's enough, you know. That's enough, you know. Thank you, God. It's enjoying the presence and the reality of God there. It's a consistent awareness of a loving God who is there. Sometimes you don't have to worry about praying for answers. You don't always have to, and prayer is not requesting. Prayer is just simply abiding, being close to, talking. Prayer is to experience the closeness with God and to set aside not just time, but setting aside me, to dwell with God in the middle of my life, to relate to God in the now. I heard this story that this guy had found Christ, been led to Christ by some of the leaders in the church, and they gathered together and they said, well, why don't you come to our prayer meeting, you know? And so this guy comes and they're in a circle and they do the Baptist thing, you know, which is pray, you know, all goes around a circle like this, and these guys are all waxing eloquent, you know, these formal prayers, you know, with scripture and punctuated with the these and the thous and the thys, and it gets to this guy and he just didn't know. He'd never prayed out loud before, so he just said, God, it's me, Sam. Do you remember me? I met you yesterday. And I just want to let you know that I still love you. And it broke the whole thing apart, because probably that was one of the more honest prayers in place. God has said this, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I want to give you is light. And if prayer is a burden and a chore, let's just say you're doing it wrong, okay? You're doing it wrong. If prayer becomes a burden and a chore and something you have to do, then just admit, I'm probably doing it wrong, and I want to learn how to do it right. You have a heavenly Father. You have his Son who said, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door and come in. I'll eat with you, and I'm going to treat you as my what? My friend. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up now, because we're going to do something. And I really want, and you got to understand, I'm not an experienced guy, you know. I'm more of a knowledge guy. And so I would like us to experience God in prayer right now. And we're not going to go for an hour, don't worry, on this one. It'll be a few moments of your time, and I've prayed for this, and during this time, you can bow your head if you want. You can raise your hands if you want. You can kneel in your chair if you feel so led, or if you want to come to the front and kneel at the steps, you can do that. these next few moments is just a place of safety, okay? So don't worry about people around you. And I want to mix in scripture and silence and music and, most importantly, time for you to be still and know that He's God. And so, again, I pray you would just in the next couple moments experience God and His closeness and His love and His desire to want to be in your life and in your heart. Would you bow with me, please, or whatever you want to do, kneel, however. I'm going to invite you to just kind of start this time off by taking a deep breath, if you would. Just breathe in and breathe out. The God who made that even possible wants to draw near to you, wants you to experience His closeness and His love. God gave you that breath. God gave you your life. What are you feeling right now? Tell that to God. Maybe, God, I'm at peace right now because I know you want to listen to me. You want to interact with me. Some of you might be feeling an anxiousness, and your question is, why would God even care about me the way I've lived my life, the way I've treated Him? But all of a sudden, you will feel a sense of hope that He does. He's standing at the door knocking. Just open up right now. I'm going to read something that Jesus shared. It's a short story. Please, in a moment of prayer, your time of prayer, just listen. It says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, a religious leader. The other was a despised sinner, a tax collector. Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, I'm not like other people. I don't cheat. I don't sin. I'm not an adulterer. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I do all my religious duties. I give you a tenth of my income. Jesus goes on to say, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." There is mercy and grace to be found in God. Jesus says, I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. So let us come boldly to the throne of His mercy, and we'll find grace and help when you need it the most. Just dwell on the fact that God loves you and is with you now in your heart through Jesus. You're accepted and you're loved. I wanted to continue just a moment of cleansing, because forgiving others is a big deal for God. And you have received mercy and grace and forgiveness from Jesus. Would you right now think of the person in your life you're having the most trouble with? The most trouble with. They hurt you. They disappointed you. Let you down. Think about them for a moment. And would you realize that what they did to you actually hurt God more than it hurt you? It hurt God. But Jesus forgives them and loves them. You can too. Let him go. Let him go in love. Let go of the anger you have for them. Ask God to fill you with a heart of compassion and love. There's a great verse that says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Would you just simply say that in your heart? Lord, I'm coming. Here I am. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me with your peace. Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Let's start with the thanks, can we? And you can whisper this one, or you can say it out loud if you'd like, or just keep it in your heart. Just start naming the things you're thankful for, would you? Start naming all the things that you are thankful for, giving thanks to God. Whisper it if you like, say it out loud if you want, keep it in your heart, it's okay, but just start thinking everything, wife, family, people, friends. Living here. What are you thankful for? Keep it going. God gave this to you out of his love and grace to you. Trust him. He's given you all this. Now tell him what you need. Tell him what's on your heart. Maybe, God, I do have some anxieties about my health. I'm afraid of loneliness. Or maybe I'm afraid of, I'm just afraid of the future. Tell him what you need. Maybe you're worried about your marriage. Let a loving God know what is worrying you. Meditate on this verse as I read it. It says, I've called you from the ends of the earth, saying, you're my servant. I've chosen you. I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. For I hold you by your hand, I, the Lord your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid, I'm here to help you. And we're going to close in a moment with a song, but let me just simply read this wonderful passage. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore.
Beneath the surface of my anxious imagination beckons a calmness that is found in you alone. It washes over every doubt, every imperfection. Jesus, your presence is the comfort of my soul. There's nowhere I'd rather be when you're singing over me. I just wanna be here with you. I'm lost in your mystery. I'm found in your love for me. I just wanna be here with you. Here in the waiting, I won't worry about tomorrow. So let all that I am
Yeah.
When you're singing over me,
I just want to be here.
I just want to be here with you. I'm lost in your mystery. I'm found in your love for me.